Now, quite a few years ago, one of the large church survey groups, I think it might have been Barna, but I don't really remember which one it was, one of those large survey groups surveyed a whole bunch of pastors to get them to list the worst wedding disasters they have ever experienced. It was quite an impressive list, a list that made me laugh and cry all at the same time. In one instance, a groom, of course, ended up missing in action. Yep, he had disappeared before the service and didn't show up for weeks. In another one, it was the bride who disappeared, and she had her dress on and everything, just kind of like in Smokey and the Bandit. She just ran away rather than going to the altar and was not to be seen again. In another instance, a bride decided to go swimming in the hotel pool the night before the wedding. Earlier that day, she had gotten her hair dyed blonde. So yes, you guessed it. The chlorine in the pool turned her hair green. Oh, boy, what a nightmare. The wedding rings disappeared in one instance. They had been given to a little child to carry them down the aisle on a pillow during the processional. And the little child thought them candy, and he ate them. There was one wedding in which the ceremony went off without a hitch. Everything was perfect. But during the middle of the banquet afterwards, the fire alarm went off and the fire suppression system was activated, drenching the entire wedding reception, cake, food, presents, and participants in water soaked to the skin. Yeah. I remember this survey in particular because I had actually made a submission to it, and my submission was one of those that was selected as some of the best. I once did a wedding where the entire wedding party was going to be on horseback. Yep, on horseback. The groom and his groomsmen, the bride and her bridesmaids, all sitting on horses, and me sitting on a horse, too. That was a lot of fun. Getting it right so that I could perform a wedding that way took a great deal of special logistics and a lot of luck, too. The horses for the bride and the groom had to stand really close together. And of course, it made for one particularly embarrassing moment when the groom's horse decided to pee right there in the middle of the ceremony. And guess what? The bride's horse followed suit very quickly. Oh boy, that was fun. That was fun indeed. Wedding disasters. We have a real doozy of a wedding disaster in the gospel reading today. A king throws a wedding banquet for his son. Now, this is a big affair, friends. This isn't some tiny little event. This is the king's son who's gotten married. The king throws a wedding banquet, and you get invited. Guess what? You go. You don't stay away. Only those who had been invited didn't come. He sent his servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. The food is laid out. The drinks are prepared. The cake is ready. It's going to be a great big party. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Come to the banquet." And what did they do? They laughed about it. They laughed about it and went away. They made light of it. One left to his farm and the other to his business, while the rest of them seized the servants and mistreated them and killed them. Killing the messenger. Not a good idea, killing the king's messengers. Making light of the wedding banquet for the king's son is not a good idea. Killing the king's servants, not a good idea. And the king understandably gets mad. The king was enraged, actually. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. All for not coming to a wedding banquet. Yep. I really can't blame him. I'd be mad too. Since all the rich and powerful people, all the people who were expected to come to the wedding banquet of the king's son had refused to come and were now, well, dead, the king changes his plans. He said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find there to the wedding banquet." And those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. The invitation went to everybody. It wasn't limited to just the rich and the powerful. It wasn't limited to just those who were in the know. It wasn't limited to just good people. Good and bad were invited. All the people that they found in the main streets were invited to the wedding banquet. The invitation went to everyone. This is a parable of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. That's what Jesus says in the beginning of it. He says that this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. A place where, since some rejected the calling and were done away with, now all receive the calling. All receive the invitation. All receive the invitation to the banquet for the wedding of the King's son. The king deals with them and with us the same way. The invitation to the kingdom of heaven goes to all. It's gone out to all without exception. Good and bad, those with money and station and position, and those without any of that at all. Those who fulfill the expectations of the culture and the society, and those who are outside of the boundaries of those expectations. The invitation to the kingdom of heaven goes out to everybody. And I don't think that can be overemphasized. Some Christian groups want to limit the invitation to just the people that look like them and act like them and think like them and come from the same places as they come from. But that's not the case here. The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. So go, therefore, to the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those who were not worthy had unselected themselves by not responding to the invitation, by saying no to the invite of the king. And you know that happens a lot. The banquet is set. The feast of the Lord is made ready. Church is happening. Communion is set. The hymns are ready to be sung. The choir specials are ready to be sung. The scriptures are ready to be read. The word is ready to be preached. But you know, I've got things to do. Better things to do. Better places to be. Some people say. Yeah. Wham. When we do that, we too run the risk of deselecting, unselecting ourselves, becoming unworthy of the invitation. But thank God, God is gracious and kind, far more so than the king in this parable. And thank God, God has sent God's messengers into the streets to us all, inviting us all to the banquet. In the context of the parable, it was generally understood by the early church that those who had rejected the invitation were the religious leaders and rulers of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the legal high priests of the people. It was believed that those were the ones that were being cast out, and those who were the common people of the day, and those who were outside even of Judaism, the Gentiles, they were the ones who were being invited in to the banquet feast of the Son of the King. That's Jesus, friends. The early church saw within this story themselves themselves as those who had been outside, those who hadn't originally been invited, those who'd been rejected, who now were directly invited in to the banquet. And that's us too. Outside, unworthy, unselected, now we've been selected. Now we've been chosen. Now we have been called. Now that we have been invited, we've received the sovereign's invitation to the banquet. Will we show up? Will we? Or will we be like those who were first invited? Will we be like those who were first invited to the banquet who said to themselves, no, I've got something better to do. No, I need to go off and do some work. I need to do this business. I need to take care of this, that, or the other. I've got this game to go to. I got this football game to watch. Whatever it may be. Will we have other business than the banquet? The wedding banquet of the Son of the King? Will we have other business? If we do, well, the warning is clear. We will be rejected. But if we hear the invitation in the streets, if we hear the invitation to the banquet, we come. We come and we participate and we worship and we celebrate. If we hear the invitation, we come and we join in worship. That is the question. Will we show up? The very end of the parable has always been perplexing. The Calvinists really like this one. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. I don't know, you welcomed everybody. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Huh? He was just a guy in the streets, like the rest of us. What is this about a wedding robe? You mean, preacher, we've got to dress up to come to church? That's how this passage has sometimes been interpreted. And in fact, I'm just old enough to remember. I used to have to drive about an hour to get from Durham to Edgecombe County in North Carolina, where I had my pastorate and the four churches that I served as a student pastor when I was in seminary. I had about an hour drive, and I'd make the trip usually on a Saturday afternoon. But there were some Sunday mornings when I would get up really early, stay at home. I'd get up really early, and I head on out, and I drive it in the morning. And I can remember tuning in on the AM station to preachers in their local town radios and turning into those preachers and listening to them as I was on the road. And there was this one Baptist pastor I really liked to listen to because of the way he talked, and it was very fascinating to listen to. He was preaching on this passage one day, and he came up with this, and he said, "Gentlemen, that means that you're supposed to dress up for church, suit and tie every Sunday. Ladies, you wear a dress. No slacks and no jeans for women and no shorts on kids. If you don't have your wedding robe on, if you don't dress up for church, you shouldn't come to church. Can I get an amen?" Don't you say it. That's not what this passage means. In fact, the wedding robe, a garment for celebrating a wedding, really wasn't the point. What was the point? Be ready. When you're part of the kingdom of heaven, be ready. Be a participant. Don't just sit there. Be active. Be part of the celebration. Participate in worship. Be involved in the activities of the community of faith. Work hard to share the love of Jesus with others by giving food to the hungry and help to those who need it. And engaging in Sunday school class and other Bible studies and engaging in VBS and helping to train and educate and nurture children into the faith. Be an active participant in the life of the church. Just don't sit in the pews like a lump on a log. A pew potato, as I used to say. Look forward to having all of you as pew potatoes next Sunday. But more than that, I want you active in the life of the church, participating in the celebration, not just in words, but in deeds too. For many are called, but few are chosen. Only in this case, the chosen are those who pretty much choose themselves. Those who say yes to the invitation. Those who show up at the banquet feast. Those who participate in the life of the church. They are the chosen. All are called, without question, without limit, without qualification. All are invited to come and be a part. And that means participating in the life of the family of God. My sisters and brothers, the invitation is sent. The invitation is out there. The King is inviting us all to the banquet of God's grace, God's peace, God's love. Will we hear the invitation? Or will we be like those who were first invited and laugh it off? Or will we come and participate in the banquet feast of God's grace? Hear the invitation. Hear the call and come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may the people of God say, Amen. In your presence.